Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, and Luann Crane. Today we're continuing our conversation on the effects of unemployment and how that will impact the family.
And Ryan, actually yesterday we heard from Bo and Patty Henderson telling their story. Before Bo came to work for us here at Family Talk, he actually grappled with unemployment for 20 months, nearly 2 years. And during that time, he admitted he kind of struggled with depression and even questioned the amazing gifts that we all know that the Lord has blessed him with.
And if you're just now tuning in and missed yesterday's broadcast, really we encourage you to visit drjamesdobson.org to catch up or to request a CD copy. Today, we'll be hearing from our second couple, Mr. Lee and Mrs. Jen Darnold.
And Lee and Jen have been married for 14 years. They have two sons. Lee had previously worked in sales and marketing leadership. We'll hear a little bit more about that later. And Jen works as a part-time CPA while their children are in school. Here now is our host, Dr. James Dobson, to get us started.
Well, it's a pleasure to have this couple with us. As you indicated, we had Bo and Patty Henderson here with us yesterday, and they were telling their story and what Bo went through when he was let go, not fired, but let go. And it's called being riffed. And many people in our listening audience will know exactly what that means. But we want to hear another story of another couple today and get their perspectives, because it will be different. They're Lee and Jen Darnold, and I have only met them today, and it's a delight to have you here. And we want to know what your experience has been. Rather than my leading you through that, let's go back, Lee, to your experience at being unemployed.
Sure, I appreciate that. It's our story starts in real blessing. If you went back to May of 2007, Jennifer and I were at a place where we had two beautiful boys. I had risen from a corporate perspective to the level of an executive in the home building industry. Really loved my job, loved the people that I worked with. We were very active and involved at our church, and so, you know, we always look back at this point where one of our family members said, "You guys are living the perfect life," as the phrase we wish they'd never said, because very shortly after that, God decided it was time for us to be challenged.
You can get the feeling it'll always be that way.
That's right. And you know, our pastor in Denton, Tommy Nelson, called that the rocky road times. And we had experienced a lot of rocky road. And so our life from the day I met Jennifer had just been wonderful. No real heavy challenges in our marriage to that point. I wound up losing my job, and I was on the leading edge of what would become more of the story that you heard Bo and others in the 2008 and 9 timeframe. But I was really early in that process as the industry I was in was really hit. I went into work one day and was told that the position that I had was no longer going to be a position at the company across the board. They were going to try to basically do a riff of marketing, the position that I had.
As we said yesterday, riff means reduction in force.
That's right. Yeah. And they had offered a lesser job, but at that point, I thought, you know, with my skill set and with what I do, that's not going to be a good fit for me. So we accepted a severance package. And really, while it was strange and while it was different, really went into our time thinking he'll have something even better for me. So not at all a prosperity Christian, not at all a, if you are without sin, God will give you a great life. Absolutely believe that the struggles and trials of Christian life are there and deep and painful, but just hadn't experienced it personally. So for us, this was kind of new. I went and called Jennifer. I called from a number that she didn't recognize because I was at a payphone. My cell phone had been taken away.
In one day?
In one day,
they say, "We're not going to have this position anymore. Hey, how about you hand in your phone?"
That's right.
Did you have any warning? Like, did they tell you we're going to be announcing who these cuts are?
Only the warning in the sense that things weren't working as well as they had been. You could see an industry starting to decline, and you could see a lot of panic around the office. And so you knew that something was coming our way. Marketing generally is the first thing you look at. So we knew that things weren't as good as they had been, but we didn't expect to be unemployed. And we didn't expect to be unemployed for an amount of time. I really felt like I was marketable. The economy hadn't hit the place that it was hitting today. And we really, like I said, we thought God would just make it all right again pretty soon.
Okay, Jennifer, pick up the story there. You have now received a phone call that you never thought you would get. And it had a scary message.
Absolutely.
For you.
I was hit with so much emotion all at once. There was shock, disbelief, anger. As Lee said, we were kind of in this rocky road ice cream point of life. And we had decided the year before this had hit for me to stay at home full time. I had been a CPA, had been working a pretty steady part-time job. But we had decided through prayer that now with two kids that it was time for me to devote my full attentions to home. And we had spent that previous year really working hard to manage to one income. And we were doing what we needed to be doing financially. And so we were in a really good spot. And so this hit, and it wasn't in my plans. I like to plan. I like to do spreadsheets and projections. And this in no way fit into how I thought 2007 would go. And in fact, our youngest was about to enter kindergarten the next fall. And through a lot of prayer had been led to enroll him in a private Christian school. And it was when we had to start paying for a month after he received that news. So there was, at first, just a lot of shock and fear. And
Take your breath away.
It took our breath away. We felt like we had been punched in the gut, is how we described it to someone.
Because you had even done the right thing. I mean, I'm thinking, I did the same thing, Jen. When our kids came along, we strategically said, I'm going to stay at home. So here you are being faithful to this calling, and it would be a punch in the gut.
Yes. And it was interesting at that time, because Lee mentioned we were involved at church, and we were leading some ministries for new believers. And when they saw it happen to us, they were kind of taken aback, because they're like, wait, you guys are the ones that are stronger Christians. And they didn't think things like this were supposed to happen to stronger Christians. And so that was one of the great outcomes of it, is they got to see that our life wasn't always going to work well according to the world standards either. And it was fun to have them watch us as we walked through
okay,
this.
Okay, there are two times that I want you to describe.
Okay.
One is when Lee came home that first afternoon, and what you guys talked about and what you felt. And the other is the next morning. Bo mentioned yesterday of waking up, and there was about 1 or 2 seconds of exhilaration and then depression, and realizing, I don't have anywhere to go. Did you go through
yes.
that?
Yes. Well, a lot of tears that first day. And in fact, Lee came home early and went with me to pick up our younger boys from preschool. And we told the older one first what had happened. And then he ran into the 2-year-old's preschool room and screamed, we got to go, Cooper. Daddy lost his job today.
Oh,
and all the teachers and the parents got silent.
They had no idea how to react.
Anyhow, we just, that first day, there was just a lot of emotion. But we also, we quickly saw how God had been preparing us in the years leading up to it, that we were building community at our church. We had taken the Crown Financial Bible Study. And at the time we were doing all these things, we just thought they were good things to be doing. But God just really showed us quickly within that first day even that he had been preparing us for this storm to hit. And we were thankful for that.
We set out very early in this process to say, with the new Christians we were ministering to, we wanted them to see that what they see on television sometimes, that once you become a Christian, your life becomes great. Mm-hmm. And if something happens, something's in conflict with you and God, we wanted them to see that wasn't the case, that they could see a couple that was prayerful, was studying the Bible, had a wonderful marriage, great kids, but that God could take that couple and put them through pain and use it for his purposes. And so the first thing that we sat down and said was, number one, our marriage is going to get through this with strength. And so we're going to, when we feel pain, when we feel hurt, we're going to focus on each other. Number two, we're going to be a witness to the people around us, these young Christians that we were mentoring to and the people that were in ministries that we had gotten involved with. We wanted them to see a couple go through this on our knees, prayerfully, utilizing the resources. So we were very, very open about what we went through. We made speeches, and we wanted to be people that were without pride, without fear, were just in front of everyone and showing them what this was like.
Now, did you land on your feet quickly?
No.
I mean, what you're telling us now sounds like it was down the road. Did you deal with depression?
I wouldn't say I dealt with depression as much as I dealt with confusion. I went through a lot of times during this where I was very close to being employed. I was fortunate to get interviews the fourth and fifth rounds where I was flown to other cities and really had been told I was the final candidate. And we coined a term during this that I called miraculously bad, because jobs that were obvious, offer letters that came and then weren't followed through on, we coined the term because we knew God had to be working in this because it was so unexpected. He had to have a purpose in it. So not so much depression as a confusion about my faith, that God, I would feel like God was speaking to me about where we were headed, but then it wouldn't come to pass. Mm-hmm. And it would confuse me as to, okay, now I'm off balance. My equilibrium's off. I think God's speaking and it feels like he isn't, and I'm misjudging where he has me.
But I think all of that, as the time wore on, we saw his emotions become very raw. He's wounded, and so I felt that in his reactions, where in the past in our marriage, I could pretty much tell before I was going to say something if it would ignite some sparks between us. But during this time with his raw emotional state, I would say things that unintentionally would hurt him. I would mention that so-and-so down the street got a new car, and I was excited about the friend getting a car and reporting the news of the day. But what he heard when I said that was, Wally, it would be nice if you could get a job and we could get a new car, too. And he would respond almost like fire coming out of his mouth because he was so hurt and so just raw about it.
You told our producer who was talking to you about this program that there was an event where you went to a family dinner. Nodding. People can't hear you when you're nodding. And what happened there?
Well, at that, we were with my parents, and I was complaining about the type of health insurance that we had to get. And in fact, the day before, I had been at the pediatrician's office and got a lecture from the office manager that I wasn't taking very good care of my kids because I wasn't insuring them at a high enough level. And that, of course, had brought a lot of tears. And so I was complaining to my parents, having no idea how my husband would take it until we got in the car. And he looked at me and he's like, Jen, that really hurt. I promised your parents I would provide for you. And you just sat there and told your dad I wasn't doing my job taking care of you. Oh, and it hurt me that I had hurt him and I didn't even realize that I had.
And that's not at all who she is. So it was absolutely on me because she, my emotions were raw. And
she didn't understand exactly where you were at the time.
And yet, Doctor, this kind of points out to me just how complex this whole issue is because, you know, when you have these kinds of changes, you may have to change doctors, take them out of private school, you know, change your whole pattern of life so you lose that familiarity, lose that comfort, you lose that, all of those things that became part of your life.
I want to address that issue of confusion that you've talked about. In my book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, I talked about the fact that sometimes Christians go through more difficult emotional times when trouble comes than those who are not Christian. And I've never heard anybody else say that, but I've seen it. And the reason is because the non-Christian doesn't expect anything. You know, there's no God there, and if he is there, he doesn't know me, and I don't have any reason to think maybe he's going to intercede for me. And so there's no confusion. There's the pain of whatever they're going through, but it's not confusing. But for the Christian who has a kind of a sleepy theology lying down there that says, you follow him, and you won't always have good times, but you'll understand it when you don't.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is you usually don't understand. And he doesn't tell you. He doesn't answer the why question. This is one of the most important things in Christendom, and it's why I wrote that book, that if you look at the life of Job, who went through all these terrible things, and he was so eloquent in asking God the why questions, and the Lord never answered one of those questions. He said, who are you to ask me? Who are you to think that you have a right to anything? You remember the words in that book of Job. And the truth of the matter is that you may someday figure out what God was doing, but probably won't. That because God will not be accountable to men. And all of us ask those why questions. None of us get answers to them. And even Jesus on the cross said, my God, why? Even he asked the questions. And there's no indication God came on the cross there and talked to him and said, let me explain what's happening in my scheme of things. So there's all this confusion, which is sometimes worse than the pain of whatever you're going through.
Well, you mentioned exactly what I was going to bring up. I read a biography on Job, and you get to the end of it as you're reading the Bible, and he does ask God, why have you put me through this? And you think as a Christian reader that God's going to say, well, here's what happened. You felt this pain because of this. And God does challenge him back. And it really, what this time did for me was every time I started to feel like a sense of, God, it's time. I've learned what you wanted me to learn. It's time for me to have
been ready.
And I really did. I would describe to Jennifer, I think the lesson God wanted me to learn is this, and I feel like I've learned it, and that's why these interviews are progressing. And no, that wasn't it. Mm-hmm. And we just kept moving and moving. And finally, I just got to a point where I said, God, I don't know that I ever will understand this. And I know now that I don't deserve to understand this. I just want what's your will. And if your will is that we sell this house, if it's that I never am the professional level I was at again, we're okay with that, but I'll need your help to get me to be really okay, where my career may never recover, my finances may never recover, but my marriage and my family and my ministry will be there, so help me to be okay with that, because I don't deserve an answer.
You know, the most interesting aspect of Job's story for me, and it relates to all of you as you've described your story, was that God not only didn't answer his question, he wouldn't talk to him. Job said, I looked for him. I looked for him in the north country and in the south. I looked for him in the east and the west, and I can't find him. If I could just go to his throne, I could help him understand what my need is. But the Lord didn't talk for a period of time. And that's a metaphor, or the story is applicable to us, because there are times when the ceiling is brass and the prayers seem to bounce back. And we know from all the other scriptures that God is right there with you and he cares for the brokenhearted. That's one of my favorite scriptures. He cares for those that are broken in spirit. So he's right there. But he allows us to go through a testing time.
Absolutely.
And when he does, what does he want from us? He wants continued faith. You just hang on.
Absolutely.
One of the things that helped me during that time when nothing was working out was to go back to God's promises, that I knew God's nature and I knew he was a promise keeper. And I did a search through the Bible, and it brought me a lot of comfort to remember that he said he would never leave me or forsake me. He said he would provide shelter. He said he would provide food, and that also reminded me that his thoughts weren't my thoughts or his ways my ways. And so this wasn't maybe going to end like I thought it should, but day by day, he would keep his promises to us.
Well, Jen, one of those things you didn't think you would ever do is go back to work, right? And so
That's right. You did.
I mean, you had to change your lifestyle. You went back to work part time.
Yes. And for a season during this, I was working almost full time hours. And so Lee was the one taking the kids to school, picking them up, helping with homework. And I was working, and I wanted to be doing what he was doing, and he wanted to be doing what I was doing. Our roles that we loved were switched, and it was challenging during that time.
And it wasn't challenging that she was working and I wasn't, because we felt like God had provided her job for us as a way to help us through. What was challenging was when her work was difficult, and she would have times with clients that she had that where she was so frustrated and so hurt, and they would be treating her in a way that as a husband, I wanted to come in and protect her from. And those times were probably, for me, the hardest.
Yeah.
Because that is the role God gave you.
That's right.
To care for your family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you weren't able to do it for a time.
And we were in his hands, not mine. Wow.
The tears in your eyes say that this period of your life was not only difficult, but it's still down there.
It is, and it's interesting because I mentioned before that I've been working now full-time for 2 years. And I don't think about it as often during the day and have become another Christian who's moved through that time frame and is forgetting a little bit. And so this has been great for us because we've gotten to a point where God has ended in our world that hard, difficult time where I'm working again and we're getting to rebuild. And I'm so grateful for the chance to remember what we felt, because as Christians, we can move past those tough times mm-hmm. and talk about how they changed us, mm-hmm. but then become ourselves again. And I want to always remember, and especially for people that hurt, where before this time, I would have heard someone had lost their jobs and said, I'll pray for you. And maybe I just honestly didn't. I drove away and got into my own world. Today, when somebody says I've lost my job, I break down for them because I know what's ahead for them, and especially if they're not Christians. If we didn't have God to go through this with, how much more would have happened to our marriage without that foundation and that base? And so I'm so grateful.
Now, Ryan and Luann, the two couples that we've talked to, the one yesterday and this couple today, are in some ways atypical to those that are listening to us, because they had college educations, they had professions, they had done things right. You know, you didn't have alcoholism or gambling or any of those kinds of problems. And so they weathered the difficulties better than some others. But I think of those that are out there who maybe blue-collar people who have just been hard-working folks who have always been right on the edge in terms of paying for their bills and keeping their family afloat. And now they've lost everything. And they don't have the reserve. Lee, you guys had a retirement fund that you began drawing on, didn't
That's right.
You?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. We were blessed in that respect. And there are a lot of families living on the financial edge, like you mentioned. In fact, one of our close friends mentioned that they had been unemployed and had just not mentioned it to their friends because they were so hurt by it and they were so close to financial ruin that it really touched our hearts and is what made us want to talk about this, is to be open and let people know what we were feeling and to be honest about it.
Well, where I'm going with this is tomorrow's broadcast, because I want the two couples, Bo and Patty Henderson, who were here yesterday, and Lee and Jen, who are here today, to come back tomorrow and let's address the tougher situation. Let's talk directly to those that need to know, what can I do now? Mm. How can I handle this? Let's talk to the wife about how she can support her husband and what not to do. And in some cases, she's the one that's laid off and they were dependent on her income. So let's take one more run at it. We've told your story in both cases now. Tomorrow, let's talk about what now. Would that be okay?
That'd Sounds be great.
Good. All
thank
right.
You.
And thank you for being with us today. I appreciate so much your opening this chapter. You'd probably like to shut it forever, but you've been willing to talk about it, and we'll pick it up tomorrow.
Thank you.
And we are grateful for our guests, Lee and Jen Darnold, being so vulnerable today on this edition of Family Talk. You know, Ryan, it's not until you really open up about your own personal struggles that you suddenly realize lots of other people are going through similar circumstances.
Well, Luann, that's why it's so important for us to be authentic and to share with one another, do life with each other. And that's why God has blessed us with community. We need to help each other through these bad times.
And unemployment is one of the worst times that you can experience. If you know someone who is struggling with that scenario right now, and you know that they would find encouragement from the stories we have featured both yesterday and today, would you share this broadcast with them? I would encourage you to link to this interview from your Facebook page, or even request a complimentary CD copy to pass along. Give us a call to do that, 877-732-6825. Here's the number one more time. Put it into your cell phone directory, 877-732-6825.
And could you take a moment to stop by our website, drjamesdobson.org, and let us know the call letters of the station you've listened to, or if you're listening via podcast. And while you're there, check out my dad's book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, and think about getting a copy for yourself or maybe for a friend.
And you may be able to find that book elsewhere, but when you request it from Family Talk, please know you are directly investing in the ministry to hurting families, like you've heard the past few days. We are 100% dependent upon listener support from friends like you, and any donation you're able to make would be appreciated.
Thanks for joining us again today, and be sure to join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this three-day series, when both couples will offer the support, encouragement, and tips that help them triumph through their storm. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.